home, I think, is what we say. Let our ears to hear, listen. Listen. God speaks love in 100 ways. God speaks caring and comfort into being. God speaks hope and mission into being. Let everyone with ears to hear, listen. And come now from the routine and the struggles of your life. Come now. And together we will worship God. And we're going to do that as we sing, Rejoice, the Lord is King. There have been many seeds, O God, that we have not sown. A compassionate heart is one seed. A joyful spirit, a happy smile, is another. Nimble fingers are another. An intellect, a voice, an imagination, or some other seeds entirely. All seeds we have held, O God, but have not sown. We've been afraid they will make too much work or take too much time. We have been afraid they won't grow, and people will think we are foolish. And so, O God, we hold the seed tight in the palm of our hand. We deny them a chance to grow and to bloom. You take a moment now. Clench your fists as if you are holding the seeds. And listen to God what has been about seeds you could have sown, but did not. take that moment to sit with God. Forgive us, O God, who gives the seeds and change us. Teach us to let go, to sow the seeds we have, and to be fruitful. Amen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is the great good news. In Christ Jesus, we are free. In Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And we then keep thanking God as we sing together, give thanks with a grateful heart.
This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. In this we hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus was a great storyteller. One of the greatest, I believe the greatest, storytellers of all time. And the stories that people remember best, the stories that are recorded for us in the Gospels, are Jesus' parables. People who heard them remember them, because they were stories about their everyday lives. The stories that started with what they knew and finished up with what Jesus wanted them to understand. That is how Jesus used stories. You know, when I tell you a story, I usually do it because I'm getting your attention, illustrating a point. But when Jesus told the story is the point. There's no explanation. The story stands alone. That's what a parable is. One day, when Jesus was teaching on the beach, a crowd came to hear him, and it was such a big crowd that in the end, he was pushed closer and closer to the water, and so with himself and the crowd a bit more room, he sat in a boat on the water's edge, and he taught from there. That's the beginning of the reading we have this morning. The crowd was a very mixed crowd. Pharisees, and teachers, and lawyers, fishermen, and farm workers, and tax gatherers. Those who followed Jesus closely, and curious passers-by who stopped to see what the fuss was all about. Men and women, young and old. Some were really listening to what Jesus said and taking it to heart. And others were there for the entertainment or out of curiosity. Some were too distracted by the worries and concerns of their lives to really hear. Others completely lost interest in what Jesus had to say because they couldn't relate to his words. They couldn't relate it to making a living or to making their fortune, and that was their concern. And as Jesus looked out over the crowd and saw all of that, I wonder if that is not what prompted him to tell a parable that began something like this. One day, a farmer went out to plant his field. He tied his bag of seeds to his waist. He took a handful of seeds and he threw it out in all directions. Sowing seeds in Jesus' time was a shockingly wasteful process. Nothing like the way Australian farmers today plant crops. Or even how we plant our own flower beds and veggie patches. You don't do that, do you? Throw the seeds out, hope they land somewhere on the good soil, and we don't. Because it's so wasteful. It is so wasteful to do that. And that's what Jesus said. Some fell on the path, and that was wasted because the birds came and ate it before it could grow. Some fell on stony ground, and that was wasted because it withered in the sun. It never had any soil to help it, to nourish it to grow. And some fell among a bunch of weeds. The soil was good, but the weeds had already used up the goodness in the soil. They were established and they choked out the thing that tried to grow. But some fell on good, rich, fertile, brown or red soil, where it would grow strong and tall and produce fruit. The seed in the story is all good seed. There was every seed just waiting for a chance to grow. But there were birds and stones and weeds, and a lot of seeds never got that chance, never could grow, never could come to maturity, never could blossom, never could produce seeds themselves. But even though so much seed was wasted, the farmer kept on sowing the seed, just as generously, just as extravagantly, because he knows that some, if not all, some will live, some will grow, some will become all that they were meant to be. And that's it, isn't it? That's Jesus' story. Those who have ears to hear, let them listen. That's Jesus' story. Remember that I said that when Jesus tells a parable, the story stands alone, and that it's up to the listeners there by the sea that day, or us reading it now, to hear the meaning. It's up to us to read that and see what it says to us. That's the story. Or is it? Because there's a second part to this parable, to this story, in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew tells us that this time Jesus did it differently. And there's a detailed explanation of what this parable means. But Matthew says Jesus didn't tell it to the crowd because they don't have ears to hear. Matthew says Jesus kept it for his disciples, explained it to those disciples. So the big question is, out of all the parables that Jesus told, did Jesus do it differently this time? Or, as biblical scholars believe, is it the gospel writer who spells it out for Jesus' disciples? Jesus' disciples in his community, in his time, which was towards the end of the 1st century. And if that's so, maybe the people of Matthew's community really needed to hear that parable, because they could identify with the sowers in the parable. They sowed a lot of gospel seed way back then. And their words and deeds did not seem to grow where they were sown. They were discouraged, disheartened. They lost hope. Or maybe, this is another interpretation of what Matthew might be saying to his community. The people in his community were the barren places, or the stony or the weedy places, where the seeds of the gospel had fallen. And the seeds of the gospel in them were no longer growing and producing fruit. For a whole lot of very good reasons. They were being persecuted. They were in danger. And so, that's a scary place to be. Do I stick with this, knowing that I will be persecuted, that my life is in danger? Or do I give up following Jesus? Or some of them got caught up in worldliness. I have to give this up to follow Jesus. If I do, I'm not going. I can't do that, and so I can't follow Jesus. And the gospel writer didn't want them to miss what he heard Jesus say. When you are persecuted and give up, or you let wealth get in the way of the things of God, the good seed of the gospel will die. And either could have been true for Matthew's community, if we look back at the history of the early church. So, one or the other, probably. But we do know, what we do know, is that this particular parable is interpreted in Matthew's Gospel. It's interpreted in the first century. And you know, that's a gift to us, because it helps us to hear what it's saying to us as Jesus' disciples in the 21st century, all these years later. Because there is a lot working against the gospel in the world we live in. I don't think there's one person here who would argue with that. There's a lot working against the gospel in our world. God's words of love and grace are countercultural words in our violent, anxious, greedy, uncaring world. And they make no impression on a lot of people. It's like seeds lying on the surface of the road. If they hear about Jesus' love and grace, it goes nowhere. And sometimes, though the seeds of the gospel are growing in us, when the going is tough, we get discouraged. Instead of trusting God and persevering, those seeds are not different. And at other times, all kinds of things crowd God out of people's lives, out of our lives, like seeds among thorns. And if we're honest, that is true for you and me. It's true for every one of us. We all have those moments when those things happen. But this is the good news. God just keeps on sowing seeds and sowing them and sowing them until we do respond. And sometimes, just sometimes, by the grace of God, God's word lands on good, fertile soil. And it grows in you and me, and in this congregation, and in the whole church. And there is an abundant harvest. Thank God that in the times we don't respond to the gospel in our own individual lives, that God keeps on throwing out the seed of his love and forgiveness, the gospel, until some of it germinates and grows and bears fruit in us. Because God does keep on sowing seeds in us as individuals. And God keeps on sowing seeds in us as a faith community, as Kenmore United Church. You know, as a congregation, it's our responsibility to make sure that there's good soil here, so that the seed that God sows, the seeds that will grow, so that the seeds of the gospel will flourish here, and new life will emerge. God has thanked us this morning loud and clear. Put in the time, put in the energy to improve the soil here, to till it, to fertilise it, to make it super rich, so that it will nourish new Christians and growing Christians, so that they mature and in their turn bear fruit. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear, Jesus says. So, how do we work here? enriching the quality of our soil so that here seeds of the gospel will flourish. How do we do that? Do we nurture the seedlings God entrusts to us? How do we do that? And those are not questions I'm asking you and expecting you to answer here and now, off the top of your head. But they aren't questions that we can ignore. They aren't questions we can forget about. Because the future of every congregation depends on their answers to those questions. Our future as a congregation depends on how we answer them. If you're looking into the future, as if you've had some way of seeing what happens here in 10 years or 20 years, that future can be flourishing and great and the best that Kenmore United Church has ever been. Amazing. When we take note, when we are careful about how we reflect on and act on those questions. You know, one of the things I've learned since I've been here is that as a congregation, we connect with our community in so many, many different ways. You are amazing. I'm excited. I'm in awe of all the opportunities that you have created and nurtured. Opportunities to scatter seeds of the gospel in your world. Remember what I told you about your world? When I say your world, I mean your world of family and church and work and home and, you know, the groups that you belong to, that world. You have created, let me say that again so that you really hear that. You have created and nurtured all these opportunities for you to scatter seeds of the gospel in your world. As you do that, this gospel, this parable has something very important to say to you. There is a warning and there is great promise if you will but hear it. First, expect that growing seeds of the gospel is wasteful. You will sow a lot of seeds in people's lives for a lot of reasons. They will not grow. For a lot of reasons, they will never really grow. And that is okay. Let me say that again. There will be waste, and that is okay. We should not expect that everything we plan and do will succeed. In fact, this parable makes it really clear that they won't, that it won't. And that's not because it's not good seed, but because it does not land on fertile soil. That's the warning. Here's the promise. If we keep on sowing the seeds of the gospel, we keep on doing that, in the end, enough of the seed will take root for there to be amazing results. 30, 50, even 100-fold. There is waste, but there is also growth. The parable ends in success, in joy, in celebration of a great harvest. And that could be our story. So what can we do to make it our story? We can plan to sow seeds. We can plan to sow seeds where they are most likely to germinate and grow. Scattering seeds is fine. But if you're standing in the middle of a field that's been tilled and cultivated, ready to go and scatter the seeds there, you're almost sure of a good harvest from those seeds. The plants are seeds, but they are most likely to germinate and grow. Find some good tools that you can use to till the soil, scatter discriminately, care for the new little shoots, water and nurture them as they mature. Celebrate the harvest. And where you are sowing seeds now, good seeds that have never produced harvest because they are planted on in rocky or thorny soil, then clear the rock. Uproot the weeds and thorns. Prepare the soil and then scatter more seeds. More seeds generously and even extravagantly. And never give up sowing. Never give up doing. And by the grace of God, in God's own good time, seeds will take root. Seeds will flourish, will bear fruit. Jesus promises that there shall be abundant harvest. Amen. Will you pray with me? O God, sower, reaper, gardener, harvest. I want to be part of a healthy, growing, outward-looking church which is guided and led by you. I want to be nourished within my church, encouraged and able to reach out to others. Raise up Kenmore Uniting Church, O God, to be that church, to reflect your love and compassion and generosity. Help me to understand that all this starts with me. As your church here, O God, cultivate us, turn us over, weed us, fertilize us, so that we may be good, rich soil that is always ready to grow the seeds that fall on us. In Jesus' name we pray. As the offering is received, we're going to sing Master Speak, your servant.
wonderful trip. Flooding waters, mud, but lots and lots of music and fun. So anyone that can get to the Big Red Bash should give it a whirl. It's an amazing event. Going to our announcements. There's a request for the family of Val Brandon, who passed away last weekend. She was well known to many as the wife of Reverend Doug Brandon when he was minister here, and also as a teacher at Kenmore High. So there is information about the funeral at Indrapilly United Church in your announcements. On Thursday, we have Rubicon, a wind quartet consisting of four main woodwind instruments, and they will be playing at Music Lovers from 10 to 11:30. It's $5 for a really enjoyable morning of music. Following that, on Sunday, we have the Cool and Classic Concert from West End Abbey Road with Box 5. Fantastic singers with a pianist and a cello player. So if you don't already have your tickets, I think Rosemary is selling them after the service. We continue to pray for those within the congregation and their families and friends who are unwell. We pray especially for Ian and Sonia. Ian is moving to respite care at Fairview. He had very short notice that he needed to move, and so it has been a very hectic week. So your prayers for Sonia and Ian would be much appreciated. And I think, Gemma, are you going to have a word? And Gemma's going to come in and have a word with you.
Yeah.
And we always love that.
Hi. So you might notice Rosewood United Church is up there. We had presbytery yesterday, and so I'm here to do the presbytery report because there was a few very interesting things that came out of it. One of the big ones, which is on the screen, was that Russell Reynoldson, who's now like the mission resource minister, so he goes around and sort of helps start projects and support congregations, and he's the one doing a lot of things out at Ripley with the new church plants and sort of trying to start like a community centre out there to help the community. He wanted us to do a church swap, so everybody got a laminated photo of somebody else's church. We could choose them, and everybody left the country congregations. I was very mad. I took a couple, but Rosewood is the one that I picked for us. So the idea is that we contact them and ask what we can pray for them for, and somebody out there who has Kenmore, I'm not sure who took Kenmore, they will hopefully contact us and ask the same thing. And so for the next 3 months until presbytery meets, we're encouraged to pray for another congregation as a way of sort of connecting each other together, but also just as, you know, something nice to do. They're our country cousins. And but it's worth a drive. We also had this very interesting little book. I only got one, but there's a lot of free copies apparently available. It's written by a fellow called Thomas Mayo, and it's quite a detailed little breakdown of the voice. It's got cute cartoons and QR codes that take you to places, and it's very well written and thought about, just sort of dispelling some of the myths and facts, telling some facts and some truths, and giving people a bit better picture, which is helpful for me because I still don't really have all that much detailed picture in my mind about what it is. So I feel like this will be very helpful. If anybody wants to borrow it, please feel free. And if anybody wants a copy, I can probably get some more from the presbytery office. But yeah, so it was a pretty interesting day. Come see me if you'd like to read the book. And with your permission, I will be happy to get in contact with Rosewood. Yes, we'll have a chat about that. But anyway, thank you and have a good day.
So let us pray. Spirit of God, hear our prayers for your world and for your church. We pray for the peoples of the world, for those oppressed by harsh governments, those who live under foreign rule, and for those in countries destroyed by war, and for the dispossessed. Spirit of peace, grow in us. Teach us to resolve our differences without violence and cruelty, that wars may cease, and all your people learn to live in harmony, so that many families separated from loved ones may return home to peace. We pray for the leaders of communities and nations, for all who make and administer law, for all who hold positions of civic authority. We especially pray for a successful outcome at the polling for the Voice. We pray for people to engage seriously with the referendum on the Voice and for wisdom and respect to be present in all discussions. Spirit of wisdom, grow and guide all government leaders in your way of insight, that they may carry out their responsibilities without favour or self-interest. We pray for the Kenmore Uniting Church, and we also pray for leaders, councils and synods. We're in all our places. There's quite a few in Uniting Churches, Lord, but we want to pray specially for today. And the Dara Vietnamese is one of them. We've been asked to pray, dear Lord, as they officially begin their move into the graceful property and start a new chapter in their congregation's ministry. And our prison chaplains, the staff and volunteers of United Care, to offer support and healing to vulnerable families and community. Lord, be with our prison chaplains. And for the Uniting Church of Self-Love, Lord, we pray for discernment as they leave behind unnecessary baggage and engage with a new project and discuss the future shape of the Uniting Church's governance. And this morning we ask to pray for Rosewood Uniting Church. I think that will be a blessing to both of us in the years to come. And also in Sydney, the Revesby Uniting Church and the West Croydon Tongan Church. Lord, help us to keep all these things in our hearts. Spirit of truth growing up, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to understand, that way we may receive your word and bear much fruit to your glory. Spirit of God, hear all our prayers. This is where I wanted to pray, Lord, for our community church, for each individual member of Kenmore Uniting Church. And for our families, Lord, we've all got families, and we just take this opportunity to pray for our families of work. And we thank you for bringing Reverend Jan to be with us. And we ask your blessing upon her as she gets to know us. Spirit of love, grow in us. Help us to reach out in welcome to those around us, that we may build relationships of mutual affection, trust, generosity and respect. We pray for all who are in need, for those who live in poverty, those who suffer rejection or discrimination, for those in anxiety or grief, the sick and all who care for them. Spirit of compassion, grow in us, increase in us concern for one another, that with warm and open hearts we may bring care and comfort to your people. Spirit of life, we ask that you be with all of us as we go about our life in this community. That you will help us to contact people we haven't, perhaps not even noticed before. That you will be with us with all the outreach we do and with the people we invite into our church. That we will be ready to receive them with open hearts and warmer understandings, as we're very capable of doing. And we thank you, Lord, that we are. And now I ask that we all join together in our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
When you stand and join in singing together Hymn of Promise, in the, I think it starts in the scene, there is a, what's the word? It's a Hymn of Promise, it's about growing. Let's stand and sing. Seeds of justice, seeds of hope, seeds of grace. God has sown seeds in your mind and imagination, seeds of truth, seeds of vision, seeds of wisdom. So go into the world in the week ahead to be good soil where the seeds that God has planted will grow and blossom and bear fruit. And may the blessing of God, who is Creator and Saviour, Redeemer and Spirit, go with you now and remain with you for all eternity. Amen.
Amen.